Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We are in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning. And Paul says that we are part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We just heard a testimony. Those of you who are listening online, you didn't get a chance to hear, but just a beautiful testimony of how the Holy Spirit is at work in one life and many lives. And so, welcome to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, we started this last week and just want to continue this week. And I'm using the word resilience. You know, as if people are saying, and they're still saying it, really, really smart people are saying that this year could be problems, right? We could be a recession or depression or crazy things can happen. And so, with wars and rumors of wars abounding everywhere, this could be a crazy year, but that doesn't define who we are, right? And so what I want to encourage you as your pastor is to have some resilience this year with whatever comes. And that would be true of any year, like 10 years ago, 10 years from now, any year. Let's be resilient. And what I said last week is resilience only comes through the relationship that we have with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's where true resilience is. We can plan and prepare, you know, we can do things around the house, we can, you know, store some extra food in the house. There are things we can do from a practical standpoint. But at the end of the day, if we don't have a relationship, an ongoing, exciting relationship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit, we're not going to be resilient. So I want to call us to resilience with the Word of God. And this morning, Romans 8, verse 1, we're going to start in 5, we're going to get to 5. We already got 1 through 4 last week. But let's just start. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened in its sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we're heirs with God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might also share in his glory. So the Bible says that we should have our minds set on what the Spirit desires. And let me ask you, parents, as a parent, what desires do you have for your children, right? Wake up, clean up their room maybe, make up the bed maybe, right? Get ready for school without you asking them 1,000 times, right? And when they come home, they clean up the house, cut the grass, rake the leaves, right? Wash the car, vacuum it out, do the dishes. Am I getting close? Clean the bathrooms, right? You do what? Reel it in a little bit. Have I gone too far? A little bit much there. So how far back do I need to reel it in? Back to just wake up?
All
all the way. Just wake up. You're good to go. But if you're listening online, it's a tough crowd this morning. So, parents have certain desires for their children, right? When you go to work, does your employer have certain desires? Right? Show up on time, maybe a little early. Do what? They have demands, not desires. And that is true. That is so true. They have demands and not desires. You know, they want you to show up maybe a little before, you know, you're supposed to start work and stay a little bit later than you're supposed to work. And then work really hard in between and, you know, never use your cell phone, never, you know, any of those kind of things. Just work hard for 8 or 10 hours, right? Unless you're your own employer, then that gets a little tricky, doesn't it? Very tricky. I see that head bobbing back there. Well, the Holy Spirit has desires for us, right? Father, Son, the Spirit have desires for us. And they want us to grow up into the personhood of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit looks at you today and says, hey, you're not quite Jesus yet, right? But you're going to be. And my job is to help you get there. It's 100% guaranteed that we're going to be like Christ. When we meet him, we will be like him 100%. Amen? Glory be to God, to your vision. We're going to be like Jesus. But between now and then, there's work that needs to be done, right? Some of you look a little more like Jesus today than you did yesterday. Some of you look a little less like Jesus than you did yesterday. That's called life, right? And so we're on this journey, 2-3 steps forward, maybe 1 step backwards, 2-3 steps forward, backwards. It's what Paul said in chapter 7 that you were referring to. Paul said, man, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I wind up doing, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, why does this keep happening? Because he's human. Right? The Holy Spirit desires that we look and act and think more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. Right? So there are several things we can do with the Holy Spirit. We can accept and submit and follow him, or we can reject him. Let me give you a quick list, then I want to get to the teaching. So the things we do to repel the Spirit. First, we can be ignorant of the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 34, it says there are people who are ignorant of God. Second, we can ignore the Spirit. I'm going to go through these quickly. We can ignore the Spirit. Hebrews 2, 3 says, how shall we accept this salvation if we ignore, you know, the Holy Spirit and what he's done in our life? We can resist the Holy Spirit. Now, these are in order, okay, of how intense it can be. We can resist Acts 7, 51. Stephen's preaching that sermon. It says, you stiff-necked people. Acts 9:4, Paul was confronted with Jesus, and he says, why do you resist me, right? You can resist the Spirit. Fourth thing, you can grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's about how we treat one another. Do you know if you treat me wrong, you've grieved the Holy Spirit? Do you know if I've treated you wrong, I've grieved the Holy Spirit? Husbands and wives, right? If you don't treat one another with dignity and respect and honor, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Teenagers, if you don't treat your parents with dignity, honor, and respect, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Parents, the same way with your kids and grandkids and so forth. You get it? We can grieve the Holy Spirit by not recognizing the body of Christ. You can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. You see somebody get excited, maybe a teenager, college student, maybe an adult, gets excited about Jesus, and they're bubbling over about Jesus, and you say, bring it down a little bit, pull it back a little bit, right? Right? You pour water on the Spirit, what he's doing in their life, right? Now we should encourage that, what God's doing in someone's life. So you can quench the Spirit. Sixth thing is you can insult the Spirit. Hebrews 10:29, it says, do not insult the Spirit, right? The seventh thing, you can test the Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 9, Ananias and Sapphira made an offering to the Lord, and they lied about what their offering was. They sold a piece of property, and they brought the money to the church, but they took some of it out for themselves, and they brought the money and said, this is what we got for the property. This is the whole amount. We're giving 100% of what we got for that property to the church. And you know the story. They both died, right? Right? They said, why do you test the Spirit? Why are you testing the Spirit here? And then the last thing, number 8, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:29. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. I personally think blasphemy against the Holy Spirit means you reject the Holy Spirit. And you say, I don't want any part of you, Holy Spirit. I think that's what blasphemy means in that context. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings salvation to us, right? We're washed, we're cleansed, we're saved through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. So if you say no to the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved and be with Jesus in heaven. Right? So those are the negative. That's the negative side. What about the positive side? What does the Holy Spirit desire of us? First, Ephesians 5:18. The Holy Spirit desires that we would be filled with who He is. We would be filled with who the Holy Spirit is. Now, can you tell me what the Holy Spirit is? Can you give me some words that describe the Holy Spirit? Anybody?
Helper.
Love.
Comforter.
Peacemaker.
Guide.
Counselor. Anything else? Yes. What else?
God.
Who else is the Holy Spirit? Paul said we're supposed to be filled with Him, right? And He brings the attributes into our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. The gifts of the Spirit He brings in, right? He brings those. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, listen, we don't get a Happy Meal portion of the Holy Spirit, right? A lot of times we think we just get this small portion. You get all the Holy Spirit. When He comes in, you get everything He brings with Him. That's why a small child at 4 or 5 can give a word of prophecy or read the Bible and tell you what it means. That's why a teenager can do it. That's why an 80-year-old can do it. It's because we get 100% of who the Holy Spirit is. All the gifts, right? All the fruit of the Spirit we talk about, that is the Holy Spirit. It's not an add-on. We think, well, you know, the Holy Spirit adds on love, joy, peace, patience. No, that's who He is, right? And the Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. We don't say, you know, it came and talked to me. No, He came and spoke to me, right? And so there are teachings out there that say that some of the gifts, some of the fruit, they don't exist anymore, right? And they'll tell you that. It's impossible to separate the fruit and the gifts from the Holy Spirit because the fruit and the gift is the Holy Spirit, right? That's who He is. We say God is love. Well, the Holy Spirit is love because the Holy Spirit is God. Does that make sense? You understand? All right, so we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And he gave that great sermon. Of course, they killed him for it. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Acts chapter 13, people were filled with the Holy Spirit when they received Christ. Second thing, what does the Holy Spirit desire? The Holy Spirit desires that we keep in step with Him. That we keep in step with Him. It says, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, how in the world do you keep in step with the Holy Spirit? So I guess there's three things, right? You could run ahead of the Holy Spirit. You could lag behind the Holy Spirit. Or you could be with the Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, I like getting out in the community and going to all the businesses, right? And I've expanded my mission field to Murfreesboro now, and I'm going to shops down there. And so this week, I said, Lord, where do I go? He said, go to Home Depot, right, in Murfreesboro. So I show up there, and I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm just walking around waiting on somebody to come to me that I'm supposed to minister to. And sure enough, she does. You know how you're trying to buy something, and they have these people that come around and try to sell you something while you're trying to buy something, right? And so she came up and she did her speech. She did it very well. She's maybe 20 years old. And she wanted to sell me a water filtration system, right? I told her I had a really good one. I didn't need one. But when she got that out of her mouth, my first thing is when they say, can I ask you a question? I say, sure. And I let them ask me the question. And I said, can I ask you a question? And they're startled. They go, yes, you know. And I said, are you trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation? It just stops. It stops the sales pitch just immediately. And she said, well, yes, I am. I said, well, when did you trust in Him? She said, well, when I was a child. I said, that's great. I said, where did you go to church? She told me where she went to church. And I said, are you in love with Jesus? She said, yes, I am. You know, if we will keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we'll be in the right place at the right time, giving the right word in the right moment for the right conclusion, right? Now, I have run ahead of the Holy Spirit, and man, I have banged my head on a wall. I mean, I've got the mark right there, you know, low clearance, right? Ding! You're laughing because it really happened. Low clearance. I won't go there. Anyway, and then I've lagged behind the Holy Spirit, and He's had to pull me along and say, come on, come on. And I've got dirt in my shoes and on my knees where he's dragging me along, you know, struggling. But when I stay in step with him, when I say, Holy Spirit, what's next? Why am I in this building? Why am I going this place today? Right? And I'm in step with him. Mm-hmm. Things happen. Right? So we're to be filled. Secondly, we're to keep in step. And this third thing is similar to it, Galatians 5:18. We're to be led by the Spirit, which is the same thing as keeping in step with him. And once again, the only way to be led is to ask, Holy Spirit, what's next? I've discovered that the Holy Spirit is really practical. Have you discovered that? If you read the Old Testament, the Bible says in the Spirit, right, led them to be carpenters and, you know, masons and, you know, all these things to build the temple and to make things happen. It says, you know, the Holy Spirit gave them the gifts to do that. He's very practical. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit about practical things. Now, the only thing you can't put on there is how to get around Highway 24. I'm sorry. He can't help you with that because I think Satan lives over there and he's just not going to go. Amen. Other than that, I think you can ask him anything. I think when you're working on that RV and you're not exactly sure what to do next, I think you can ask for practical advice. I think you can. The fourth thing, the Holy Spirit desires that we bear fruit for him, right? It says in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, right? Right? The Holy Spirit desires that we have this fruit in our life. Now, why does the Holy Spirit want us to bear this fruit? Yes. Why else? We can look like him if you didn't hear the line. So we can look like him. Yes. Why else are we supposed to bear this fruit?
Ministers to others.
Have you ever seen a grape fall off of a grapevine? Fruit fall off fruit vine, and the tree reach down and pick up and eat it? No. It's for somebody else to eat, right? But the gift is also for us, because every time I share love, or patience, or kindness, or self-control, anytime I share that with others, right, it comes back to me. It's seed that gets sown in my life, and the more I love people, the more it makes me want to love people. Amen. Right? It's this compounding effect. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then the fifth thing the Holy Spirit desires is that we sow to please him, right? We sow to please him. Galatians 6:8, let us not become weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We're to sow our life, right, to please the Spirit and to watch him work in our life. Once again, that just requires asking, Holy Spirit, how can I please you today? And it may be a very practical thing that he gives you. I was in another business this week, and the conversation came up about church. And there's a new employee there, don't know him well, just getting to know him. And one of the person looked at me and said, what denomination do you think he goes to? Just a random question. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what? And I called the name of the denomination. It just popped in my head just like that, just boom. And I said it, and the employee goes, that's right, how'd you know? Him, right? And that opened up a conversation about baptism, right? And what it really means to be baptized, sprinkled, immersed, and all the details that went along with that. It was a lengthy conversation. You know, when we are sowing in places, if you sow in your marriage, if you sow in parenting, kids, if you sow into this relationship you have with your parents, if you'll sow spiritual fruit into it, you will reap spiritual fruit out of it. Joshua, if you practice self-control with your parents, right, you're going to sow into them. You're going to reap self-control back, right? You're going to learn more about that. They're going to learn something about it. Does that make sense? And that's why the Holy Spirit says, sow these things into your life. Sow these things into others, and it comes back to us. And then the last thing that the Holy Spirit desires He desires that we be his temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, a very expensive price, the blood of Jesus Christ, right? You were bought with a price. He died for our sins, right? He rose again so that he could live in us and that we could live in him. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us are tearing that temple down every day, right? By what we eat, right? By what we do with it. Some of us are building that temple up every day by what we eat and what we do with our temple. Now, this temple, this jar of clay, this earth suit, it is gonna croak at some point, right? There's 100% guaranteed chance of death unless Jesus comes back and we go up in the rapture. But between now and our die-on date, there is a die-on date out there. Between now and the time the earth suit collapses, I should take care of it as best I can. Amen? Or oh me? A little of both. Yeah. I should take care because this is where the Holy Spirit dwells. I should be careful what I see with my eyes, what I watch on TV and so forth, right? I should be careful what I hear with my ears, right? Should be careful what I eat and drink. I should take care of this temple, knowing that it's going to collapse at some point, but between now and then, I should take care of it because it's where the Holy Spirit lives. Now, watch this. In that Corinthians passage, not only does it talk about me, Jim, being the temple, but he talks about us as a body of believers being the temple. So when we gather as the body of Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit right here, right now, in this moment. Those of us in this building who are gathered are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should be careful how we take care of the body of Christ, right? Right? How we take care of one another. When we walk in, do we love on one another, right? Do we see how we're doing, how you doing? Whatever it takes, whatever the Spirit's leading you to do, do we do that? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in this moment, in this time. When you go to work tomorrow, right, Tanya, Pamela, when you gather in your workplace, right, there's going to be half a dozen Christians, whatever, gathered in a room at some point. That's the body of Christ gathered. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is present when you've gathered there. You get that, right? As a family unit, when you get home, you sit around the table. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're gathered. He's there. Don't miss that. Don't miss the fact that the Holy Spirit is present in your life, at home, in the marketplace, and in this place. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the love that you have for us, that you sent your Son to die for our sins and to rise again for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, to show us the path of life and the way to walk. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so real and alive in our lives. Thank you for being brilliant. You're the smartest person I know. You can answer all questions at all times. So come, Holy Spirit, now and teach us, guide us, correct us, confront us, convict us, encourage us, comfort us, challenge us, teach us. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us in this moment. That might bring glory to God the Father. For it's in the name of his Son we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.